It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, Scotty Johnny himself. And with me, as per usual, is Cheddar Talk Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on, man?
Been an interesting time. My heart's still working after that weekend. Yeah. a lot of trying times here, so...
You're telling me, right now I'm in the December money purge. Holly's birthday's on the 17th, Andrew on the 23rd, Christmas on the 25th, and dog tooth surgery on the 23rd.
Yeah.
So.
Yuck. That's.
How fast just my bank account is like Air Jordan right now, just hanging, just going up and just hanging, just so light, so light. It's like art.
Yes, yes. Well. That's an interesting time. You shuttled those off pretty quickly there too, so it's obviously right there at the top of your mind. So we'll try to get everything rolling here right away. I want to thank everybody for joining us again this week. All of our fans all over the world. We had our listeners in Ukraine. Saw you again this last week. It's always fun to see Ukraine listening to us. I speak no Ukrainian. I can't help you out there. I could do some other little languages here and there, but I got nothing for you.
Is it Ukraine? Do they actually have a Ukrainian language, or is it Prussian? Am I completely way off?
Well, Prussian would be German. The Prussia is, yeah. Is where Berlin and the Brandenburg area. So yeah.
Oh yeah, I knew that.
I know. It's been a long week for you, Aaron. It has been a long week for you. So I'll give you this. I know you know that.
But there's a Ukrainian language, or is it just a dialect of Russian?
I believe it's a separate language, and I think that they're going to be very mad at you for thinking that they're a type of Russian.
Well, they know where they would know what my Twitter handle is. So if they want to reach out, that'd be great.
They also know that we know not to call them the Ukraine. We call them Ukraine because
it kills me. That's one of my least favorite things on this planet.
Yeah.
Like when someone says, because we just had a bunch of guys get back from deployment in Ukraine, and my training NCO keeps saying, "Yeah, they just got back from the Ukraine." I'm like, it's not the Ukraine, Troy. Mm-hmm. It's Ukraine.
It's Ukraine.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said. The Ukraine.
Like the Illinois, the Hulu.
Well, that I don't. With the Ohio State, it's just as pretentious. Yes,
that one's ridiculous because there is the University of Ohio, there is the University of Wisconsin, the University of Michigan. It's like the least emphasized word in what they're doing. They are the Ohio State University. It shows you how bad an education you have to play for that football team that you think "the" is the most important word. That is a school that tried to trademark the word "the" or "the," and
it's
lost,
like an
of
Oxford,
course, because you
like
can't.
An Oxford. It's an Oxford the. It's unneeded, or like a pregnant the, like a pregnant pause. It's just overly big, and it needs to be having a bad name associated with it. I don't know. John, hey, why don't you get to the admin section of the show?
The admin section. That sounds, as army people ourselves, that does not sound like a fun thing. But thank you again for joining us, everybody. Our Canadian fans out there, too, this week in Ontario. Thank you for joining us this week, eh? Let's see, all about you guys. Anyhow, remember, of course, wherever it is that you follow us, wherever it is you download this podcast, that you should go ahead and subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. Remember, of course, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow this show itself. The show is at Scotty Johnny Pod, ScottyJonny Pod. You can spell pod. And I'm at Not So Humble Host, and Aaron, I know you're on Twitter. You mentioned it earlier in the show already. Where do people find you?
It's at Cheddar Talk, John. So at Cheddar Talk. So you Ukrainian listeners, please reach out.
It's a beautiful thing. All right, everybody. We're going to get going right into sports this week. You can tell that we're feeling upbeat and we're ready to go. We're going to kick everything off here with what we like to call the main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, Aaron, let's see. What do we start with? Oh, yes.
No, Saturday was a busy busy day for Wisconsin sports, especially, well, men's sports especially, but yeah.
It made the whole thing feel kind of weird because, yeah, there was actually, it was the Badger game basketball-wise, Badger game football-wise, and then Packer game in the evening. It was fantastic. It was hard to find time to do all the chores I needed to do to make sure I was allowed to watch all these things.
Right. Well, I had to front load my good faith from my wife and just sit through Saturday and get them all done on Sunday. It afforded me my favorite thing to do. I love it when the Packers play either like on Sunday night or Monday or Thursday games. I get to watch Red Zone all afternoon. And I used to think Red Zone was a silly concept until I realized then I get to see all the players in the NFL. Because otherwise, you don't. You get to see, you know, basically regional games.
Yeah.
Occasionally, you know, a West Coast team in the afternoon, but on the America's Game of the Day. But Red Zone is awesome. I love it.
It's a great idea. It's a great invention, especially when your team isn't playing and stuff like that. It's kind of fun to watch, especially with all the kind of that fantasy feel that you have. You like seeing that your guy gets in and, you know, gets into that red zone and starts doing something. So that's always a fun thing. But
and the most exciting game of the weekend was the Eagles Cardinals game, and I wouldn't have gotten to see that if it wasn't for Red Zone, because I think our game was the Chiefs Saints game. So yes, it was fun to watch. It was a blast. It was by far the best game of the weekend.
All right.
Because the Packers game wasn't. Anyways, back to you, John. Except for the win. I'll take a win.
We're going
to
start with the Packers, even though it's out of order chronologically. We love starting with the Packers because we're kind of Packer-centric here. Yeah, this was a weird one. The way I just wrote it down on my note sheet here is tale of two halves. The Packers started off great. They scored in the first three drives, right? They scored touchdowns on each of their first three drives. And just got out 21-3. And here's what I'm going to say is that this is all my brother Dan's fault, and he's not listening.
Oh.
He's a download, don't listen sort of person. But this is my brother Dan's fault because he thought in his head dagger in the first half, and his wife, my sister-in-law, had to save us from him to tell him, like, don't try it. Because I've had to go after, like, yell at my parents because we text throughout the game, and my brother was like, stop calling the dagger so early because we just watch it fall apart, you know. And this,
well, technically,
like,
he was right, but
we're not getting into that. He almost killed us. It's the sheer fact that he didn't say it probably is the only thing that saved us, because right. He wanted to, and had Dan called dagger early in the game, we would have lost. There's no doubt.
Right.
Aaron Jones actually 145 yards in this. He's quietly, I don't say quietly because I mean he has not had the like big flashy year he had last year. Last year, I mean, he was. Mm-hmm. You know, led the league in touchdowns, or is he second in touchdowns, whatever. He had all these yards, and he was second in total yards and this and that. I mean, this year, he's fourth in the league in rushing yards. I mean, barring some weird fluke, he's almost to 1,000 yards. He'll almost certainly get to 1,000 yards this year. He's still putting up good touchdown numbers. His receiving is still very good. He just made his first Pro Bowl, and we'll get into some of that a little bit later. But he puts up 145 on 20 carries in this game. Jamal Williams and A.J. Dillon were just kind of put on the back burner in this game, and they really let Jones. I mean, he got 20 carries, and I'm trying to see how many actual he was targeted a couple. He was targeted four times, caught three of them, and he's got 23 touches in this game.
Right.
That's kind of great.
Yeah, it is. To the quietly thing, first, I was going to say A.J. Dillon did have one run that looked like it was going to be really big. Yeah. And he's a big kid coming out of the backfield. Holy smokes. Like, after watching Jamal and Aaron Jones all game, like, he comes out there and runs, and he's significantly bigger than they are. So
yeah,
at least he looks
an 18-yard rush. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. It's been quietly because, I mean, he missed a couple games for starters. What was it, week 4 and 5, I believe? I don't use facts. Somebody can prove me wrong. But he's been, for the most part, sharing a lot of time with Jamal Williams. Like, you see Jamal out there a lot. And, I mean, except for that amazing 70-yard run a couple weeks back, I mean, that game would have been a dud, you know, a smaller. I mean, it wouldn't have had as good a good of numbers. But, yeah, no, you are right. It has been sneakily how many. Yeah, I heard that stat today, too. Like, he's fourth in the league in rushing. I'm like, how? And then you just go back and you look at his games and, you know, when you average, you know, when you average 80 to 90 yards a game, I mean, because he has some big games and then some not so big games, but it all averages out to 80 yards a game. I mean, that works. I mean, I don't know what his average per game is, but I'm guessing it's probably right around 83 yards a game.
It's probably close to that. Here's the thing. It's like 1,000 yards doesn't mean what it used to. Like when Tony Canadeo did it in 10 games, that meant something. Well, I mean, in 16 games, you have to average like 63 yards a carry or a game. Carry 63 yards a game, which is not really a great set. I mean, like that's not that impressive. And here's the thing, I guess, is like I'm looking at his season here. I mean, he had 300 yard games in terms of rushing, but there were 168 against Detroit, 130 against Philadelphia, and 145 this week. Other than that, you know, 66, 69, 71, 15 against Tampa Bay, 58, 46, 41, 90, and 69 in those other games. Not big days in terms of that. He's got 8 touchdowns on the season, 41 receptions, though. I mean, like, he's putting in the work, and he's getting those yards, and he's making it count when he has it. But, yeah, in 12 games, he's got 968 yards. He's getting 5.4 a carry. I mean, he's being very efficient with the ball. He's doing very well out there on the field. Jamal didn't do much in this game. He caught the 2 passes they threw him for 14 yards, and he ran the one time they gave it to him for 6. I mean,
right.
The Packers averaged 7.2 a carry in this game. They started off great guns, got the passing touchdown, had a rushing touchdown by Rodgers, had the running touchdown by Jones, and they're out early, but man, just what they did after that, Carolina in that whole second half was able to sit back, and in probably the most uncharacteristic form of what this offense has looked like all year, they didn't blitz us. They did not blitz the Packers in that second half. They brought 4, and they brought, you know, Brian Burns is a great talent. They got a bunch of guys up there who can do some things, but the Packers have one of the best pass-blocking lines in football. And demonstrated by the fact we just sent 2 guys to the Pro Bowl, but they give up 5 sacks in this game. I mean, 5 sacks is just constantly getting after Rodgers. He rolled out several times and threw some balls away. He was 20 of 29, which is still not terrible, but only 143 yards. The net passing yard for the Packers in this game is 96.
Yeah.
You take out all the 47 yards worth of sacks, 96 yards, and it's just... The only thing I can say that is a positive about how that offense looked after the first 3 drives is in the post-game interviews, they looked angry. Like, they were really mad about how they played, and they should be. It just, like you said, it was an ugly game, right? Just watching that thing.
No, that second half, by the way, it's 69 yards a game is what it comes out to. My head math is terrible. But so I used a calculator, and it came out to 69.1 yards per game. That second half was a snooze fest, man. It's like they went to bed. I don't even know how to describe it. Like, I was being the bad Packer fan on Twitter. Like, here we go. All right. You know, 21-3 should extrapolate out to a final score of 42-6 last time I checked. But, because if you do the same thing you just did for half an hour, I don't know what the heck. Like, they went in, they came out, and it was just like their heads were already on to Tennessee, which this team does have a tendency to look ahead very badly.
And that's kind of my feeling. That's my hope in this, Aaron. I'll have you expound on this afterwards, but my hope is the Viking game, the Jaguar game, where the Packers have these big leads, or a game coming up afterwards that they feel that they really need to get involved in, like, getting ready for, I'm trying to see which game came after which game here, just looking at this, but I mean, like, they played the Vikings, and then they were going to go play San Francisco right after that. Yep. And you're like,
Thursday night game, and they got the mini bye coming off, and then after the San Francisco game, which ended up not living up to it because San Francisco was the Walking Dead.
Yeah, and Jacksonville looking ahead to Indianapolis. Those were games that were, I mean, like, they beat Jacksonville at least because they're that bad, and they're just moved ahead in the tank for Trevor sweepstakes here this week. But I mean, like, they didn't get lucky when they played the Vikings.
Jets are such a bad organization; they can't even lose, right? Yeah. Oh my god!
Yeah, I mean, like,
Adam Gase, they ended up going.
Yeah, is ridiculous, and I mean, like, they lost to the Vikings going towards that San Francisco look. And here's the other reason why it's similar is that San Francisco is obviously where LaFleur was working with a lot of people out there. He knows the teams. He knows the coaching staff. He's worked under Shanahan out there. And this is another one coming up, though. I mean, he came from the Titans. He was working there. So
he was the old coordinator there just before he came to us, right?
Right. He went from the Rams right. and then the Titans. So this is another team that he knows. He knows the people there. He knows the staff. He knows the players. And, man, they just did not have a plan for that second half. They didn't make adjustments. I'll say this. Here's the best thing of this game that comes out for me is the Packers' defense looked better.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I mean, Amos and Savage played lights out in this game. Mm-hmm. Amos was everywhere. I mean, he was, it seemed like he made every second tackle. We've also had a big improvement from Preston Smith. I think he's played better. They still don't use him very well, in my mind. Like, anytime they have him coverage is a mismatch.
I was trying to think, what was the other game earlier this year where the Packers needed a big stop from, it might have been the Jaguars game too, speaking of underachieving games, where it was like, oh, here we go, this is how it ends. And they actually, oh, it was the Jaguars game because they went out there and sacked him three out of four plays in a row or something like that.
Yep.
And so it was kind of the same deal here. And it's a bad team. You should be able to buckle down against them. But I mean, being long scorned. Packer fans, is that a real saying? Anyways,
I don't know. We've
seen that lead disappear before. You know, it's the whole battle cry of how many come from behinds, how many more come from behinds would Aaron Rodgers have if on the next drive down the field the defense didn't allow another last minute drive for a score. So whatever. Za'Darius Smith is a beast, man. And I'm starting to, I was in that camp of we need to do what we can to get Khalil Mack. You know, or at least try, and after it happened, and you saw how much the Bears paid for him, it was but that's not it. I mean, he is way outperforming Khalil Mack since that whole thing happened.
Like, yeah, and I've done this. I've been online with Happy Mitch, who was on our show a couple weeks ago, and you didn't get to talk to him because you had the other things with drill and things that week. But I've been saying this with him on Twitter, like, Khalil Mack is the better player. He is better than Za'Darius, but Za'Darius is definitely outproducing him. It's kind of like Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback to Tom Brady. Tom Brady has the rings. He has the stuff there. But yeah, Rodgers is the better player. You'd rather have Khalil Mack than Za'Darius Smith, but Za'Darius Smith is getting you the production, which for right now is what you really kind of care about at this point. And yeah, Za'Darius, three tackles, had a sack, another quarterback hit this week. Since they brought in Khalil Mack, since last year, start of last year when Za'Darius came over, Za'Darius has more tackles, more sacks, more quarterback hits. There's a better rush percentage than Khalil Mack does. And by the way, they both get double teamed. They both get double teamed. Yes. So don't tell me like, but Khalil has to do it. No, right. No. There's other guys in that Bears line. Za'Darius isn't getting less attention than Khalil Mack at this point. So yeah.
Was there a Rashawn Gary sighting this weekend? I forget.
He played pretty well. It looked like he got hurt at one point came out. So I don't know if he played as much. He did have a quarterback hit in this game. He didn't get a sack this time, but he did get it from Preston Smith had a sack. And so that was another good thing. Yeah. I'll say the physicality of the corners at this point, because nobody throws to Jair Alexander, so he doesn't get a ton here. So he had a pass defense, which was an amazing play. That play was great. Just lays out and knocks that ball down. But Kevin King gets six tackles. He stepped up and run support. Savage and Amos each get six solo tackles here. They stepped up. Sullivan, too, stepping up there big. Chris Barnes has been fantastic. He's been every bit. He is a better linebacker than Blake Martinez was.
He had a rough start to this year when he got thrown out there in the middle of the game. He was...
Undrafted guy, you don't expect as much from him. If he'd had the expectations that we'd had for someone like Blake, who was a fourth rounder, I think, then you start saying something. But he's been fantastic. Kirksey looked all right, but for a guy who you brought in to cover the pass, I mean, people were definitely catching the ball around him a lot. And
Blake Martinez has the national media completely fooled, by the way, because they were just ooing and aahing over him at during the Giants game yesterday too.
He's a good looking man. He's a good looking.
Well, he is a good looking man. There's no doubt about it.
I'm not saying Chris Barnes isn't.
I'm not saying
Chris Barnes isn't, but Blake's got that big square jaw and just he's a good
looking
dude.
Blake's a good looking dude, man. I mean,
dang. No.
Yeah. No. let's stop there before I say
something. No, and he's not my man crush because my man crush is still J.J. Watt. I love that man.
Yeah.
Good game by this defense here, especially since, I mean, kind of Carolina had the opportunity to kind of play with a little more reckless abandon because they were down big early. And that's kind of one of those situations where defenses tend to give up big yards, but then, you know, and they did give up yards, that we'll say that. Mm-hmm. But they didn't give up anything towards the end zones at this point. It's a lot like, and it drives me crazy, I guess. And I said this on Twitter a lot, too. So, I mean, if you want to find out what the show is going to look like, follow me during the Packer game, unless, of course, my son has stolen my phone during the Packer game and is watching, you know, Paw Patrol or something.
Yeah.
Or Rescue Riders or whatever. But, I mean, like, Pettine plays so far off the ball. Third and one, he has guys 8 yards. 8 yards off the receivers on third and one. And you're like, why would you do that? What is even the point of doing that? They don't even have to they don't have to run a route. Like, they just catch the ball and fall forward. It was like, But we play this weird zone. Like, what we could do with the talent we have at cornerback is we could press them. We could press these wide receivers. We could bring more guys. Because seriously, Kamal Martin on a blitz? That seems exactly up his alley. That dude shoots gaps so well. He gets through. He's got great downhill speed. He made a couple nice plays in the backfield. And yeah, but I mean, like, it seems like something we could really work with these linebackers, but we don't bring more than four guys almost ever. We sit back in a lot of zone. And I think it's the best case scenario is we're trying to be like the Patriots of the last several years, where the Patriots were a middle of the pack, like yards defense, but they were one of those top 10 scoring defenses. And I guess I haven't looked at what they're, where they are in terms of overall NFL scoring defense right now, but they should have by rights given up a lot more, more points than what they had. It seemed like they gave a bunch of yards.
You alluded to it earlier, when you started that was, how they gave up a lot of yards in the middle of the field. I mean, how big was that punch out of the Teddy Bridgewater fumble on the 1 yard line when he went over top to try and score, and they punched the ball out of his, they hit his forearm and sent that ball flying, and
Kevin King picked it up and brought it back. Yeah.
Yep. Not quite fast enough, but those receivers are speedy.
Yes.
I was like, oh, here we go. You know, 99 yard touchdown. And then, oh boy, they've got some fast wide receivers on the Carolina Panthers, because they got on him in a hurry. I think he got it back to the 40, but I mean, how big was that? That was the difference between 14-3 and 14-10. Mm-hmm. If they would have scored on that, it would have been 14-10. And I don't know if they, I'm guessing the game would have, the Packers would have been a little bit more pressed. So maybe they would have had to, you know, keep their head in it longer. But I mean, that was a huge play by the defense.
Yeah. And I'm looking at now, the Packers rank 14th in terms of total opponent points per game, giving up. It's a 24.2 a game. But in the last three, they actually ranked, was it sixth? They're giving up only 18.7 over the last three games. Not that it's been the highest level of competition in the last three games, but those are decent offenses, the Lions and Carolina. They just don't have any defense there. So, yeah. Well, and, of course, the highest is Pittsburgh, and that doesn't help them at all anyhow. But, yeah, it's timely plays. They made a couple big plays there that got them ahead. Sadly, this team seems to find ways to just kind of it's that McCarthy feel of, I guess we got enough. We can kind of coast now.
And let's just give it to Sam Congato and just, you know, start pounding it up the middle. 1 yard to cloud of dust three times in a row. It's burning time off the clock, John. That's just good science. Not to allude to the next game too quickly, but I mean, we'll see how good this defense is. Arguably the most valuable player in the last four games of any season is Derrick Henry. And that dude, should have been arrested yesterday in that Lions game for that stiff arm that he put on whoever that guy was, because a number one, it's the contradictory, was that a face mask or not, but running backs can get away with it. But yeah, I know he launched that dude head over heels, and he's a monster. He is an absolute monster. And as the season goes along, he gets better and better and better and better. So, I mean, I guess we'll see this next week here, how good that Packers defense is.
Okay. Well, before we get into our full on, getting ready for next week sort of thing, the one thing we do want to talk about is the Packers actually today, they named the Pro Bowl team, which there won't be an actual Pro Bowl, but they're going to do some sort of something. Seven players.
They play video games against each other.
That would be amazing. Get online.
No, they are. They're playing Madden against each other.
That's so good. Man, I'm going to watch every minute of that.
Spend as much time on this Pro Bowl as I have on the last 25.
Yeah, so Rodgers, Bakhtiari, who apparently led all tackles, all tackles in votes, and Davante Adams on the offense. Oh, and Aaron Jones, like we talked about, and also Elton Jenkins.
Oh, good.
So great to see Elton Jenkins get that. The first guy to start all five positions on the offensive line in the single season, and he's going to the Pro Bowl as a guard, because that's his natural position at this point.
Well, he's PFF number one for left guard, right?
Something like that. He's got to be up there. He does not give up anything. I mean, this week aside, because everybody gave up everything this week on that offensive line.
Well, and he was still playing center this week too, which isn't his natural position. But
still, that's fantastic.
Good for him, man.
And Jair Alexander and Za'Darius Smith both also going in. So seven different players going to the Pro Bowl from the Packers. Rob Tonyan getting the massive snub, considering he is the number one DVOA tight end in football, in all of football. He has 10 touchdowns.
Ahead of him?
Evan Engram, who has one touchdown this year, who has like five more catches and something like 20 more yards and one touchdown. One, not one more touchdown. He has a single touchdown this season, and he's going to the Pro Bowl over a guy with 10. Tonyan got completely robbed. It's a ridiculous number. He is like 43rd out of 43 tight ends in terms of like DVOA. It is beyond crazy that Tonyan doesn't get in. I mean, I'm super excited to see these guys who went in, each one of them very deserving. Right. You know, the number four overall rusher, numerically, I think the third best wide receiver, although he missed two games. His per game numbers are best in the NFL. The guy who should be MVP this year, and I hesitate to say that, but Patrick Mahomes has had several stinker games this year. Not terrible, but not like what Rodgers has put up, who's had one bad game, and that was Tampa Bay. Bakhtiari is the best left tackle in football. Jair's the best, if not the best. He's one of the top three corners. And it's like, these guys all belong there, but Tonyan needs to be in there. He's the only other guys I'd say are the only guys who are really in the conversation for best tight end of this year are both in the AFC, because Kittle's been hurt basically all year, and Kelsey and Waller are the only two big names out there right now for tight end. The other guys are just kind of guys, like having Engram.
I'm sorry, you froze there for a second. You said Kittle too, right?
Yeah. Kittle, because he's hurt. Because he's been hurt this year.
And Tunyon's not. And here, Evan, no, that one kind of makes me mad. No, Waller and Kelsey are exceptionally good. I mean, Tunyon's best years are still ahead of him.
Yeah.
He's gonna be a monster next. He's gonna be like Kelsey. He's gonna be
like Kittle.
Kittle next year. He's kind of got that same kind of swagger to him. So
they work out together. As if you didn't know this, it's kind of like listening to the Badger game to hear when they tell you that, Ferguson is Barry Alvarez's grandson is listening to when
we
they
know
tell
that
you,
Matt LaPay. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, the TV too, but it's like if you wait every game just to hear them try to talk, it's not quite as frequent. But when they talk about like, hey, he worked out with Kittle, they're good friends and training partners, and Kittle says he's great. I'm like, yeah, we know now. Thank you. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Thank you. Learn some more stuff about him.
Yeah. Getting on to the next game, Titans coming up next. This is the one of the when we got to our break, our midseason point, and we were looking ahead. This was one, Colts was one of the games, Titans was one of the games that I was like, these are the ones you have to be worried about. Mm-hmm. Titans, number three offense. I mean, DVOA. And I use DVOA because it's way better than just looking at yards. In DVOA, the Titans have the third best offense. They have the third best passing offense and the third best rushing offense. Packers, wow, right now moved up this week. They are the number one DVOA offense. They're the number two passing and the number eight rushing offense. And this is DVOA. Anyone doesn't know it, it's Football Outsiders stat. It's an adjusted metric to take into account your opponent, how good the defenses you're playing against are, how good your opponent is, you know, time of game and things like that, rather than just the raw number. It's trying to take into account effectively your efficiency against teams based on what you're expected to get in any play. So this should be a high-scoring game because the Packers' defense on DVOA remained steady this week at number 20. Tennessee is 26th. 26th in defense and 28th against the pass. So this is a game that Rodgers should feature heavily in, and they should really try. I mean, like, they got to get the ball out of his hands. This is a team that can, I mean, they can get you on that pass rush, but you can definitely pick them apart throwing. I think that that's going to be a big part of this. If the Packers can get the ball through the air, you know, move it downfield with the tight ends and all that, then, and with, you know, Adams and Lazard, who had a very good game this week because I sat him on my fantasy team.
Of course you did.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, those, there's a lot of things we got to get going here on this game, but it's going to mostly be on that, that pass, I think, because against the run, they're 16. So they're kind of a middling defense against the run, but they're really bad against the pass, and we've been very good against bad defenses and actually very good against good defenses, so that part doesn't worry me. But Aaron, what does worry you about this team? I think you've mentioned something already.
Yeah, it's their running back.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, Derrick Henry's a beast, man. He and that's, I mean, if there's one thing we can stop is the pass, and that's not what I really worry about with this team. Cause if, I mean, Derrick Henry's, I would like to see, I want to remember, didn't he have like a 200 yard game late in the season last year?
Maybe last year.
He ran for like 500 yards in the last four games or some ridiculous amount like that. Like, it was just like, he poured it on, and that dude can change a game in a heartbeat, and he is a punishing runner. Now this game is at Green Bay, which also favors Derrick Henry running because no one's going to want to tackle him when it's a Sunday night game in Green Bay and it's 17 degrees outside. I think that's what the forecast is. And yeah. Sunday is supposed to be nice. It's supposed to be around 20 overnight. So, I mean, it's going to be not necessarily, and the stadium won't be heated by human beings. It'll be bare and open with the wind whipping around in there. So
field will be heated.
What's that?
The field will be heated, though.
The field
will be
heated,
good grass.
Yes, but, I mean,
yeah,
you got to think that without stands, without fans in the stands, they got to cut down on the wind swirling in there. If it's all bare, I'm just saying, like, we don't have. I mean, if you want to run out AJ Dillon, but like Derrick Henry, like, he's going to be hard to tackle on Sunday night because guys are going to be cold and they won't want to do it.
Here, you want to hear a really depressing stat for a Packer fan? Here is. Sure. Aaron Jones is fourth in the entire league in rushing yards. He's ahead of Nick Chubb and Joshua Jacobs and David Montgomery. He has 968 yards. He's fourth in the league. He is 700 yards behind Derrick Henry. 700 yards. It's just over. It's 711 yards behind him. So let's just go back down here. Let's see if we add him and Damian Harris, we still don't get it. We had James Connor and Aaron Jones. You still don't reach him. Devin Singletary and Aaron Jones, you don't get there.
I think unlike a lot of the other big running backs of our days, the Steven Alexanders, the Christian Okoyes and stuff like that, he tends to hand out the punishment a little bit more, and he doesn't seem to take as many big hits because he is elusive. I think he's going to be a beast for at least a couple more years here. Like,
well, and he didn't have to take the big hits his first couple years because he was sharing some carries early on. They had Murray,
Chris Jabb. Oh yeah,
what? Yeah, Murray, the guy originally from with Dallas, the University of Oklahoma running back. He was there first. They signed him as a free agent and then drafted Henry. So they kind of shared carries the first couple years there. But yeah,
I thought you meant Latavius Murray, and I
No.
With Baga and Chris Johnson, you're right. Chris Johnson would have been gone by that time too. So
yeah. But yeah. So that's it.
It's gonna be rough, man.
I'm gonna say this. I don't think they win this game. I think it'll be close. But man, I think that they're gonna be able to keep our defense on the field for far too long. I think we're not going. I think we'll keep the three man front. Probably like an actual legitimate 3-4, which we don't run a ton. We run a lot of that nickel because that's the look we get. But yeah, I don't know, because I mean, like, they don't need the big play. We've been playing our defense to stop the big play and just, you know, get into the red zones and then hold them to three, and then our offense will outscore them. Yeah. They don't need
that. We don't have the beef, man.
This team's going to grind you. That's the only thing they want to do, is just grind you down. They're like, we don't need a big plays. I want to run. They want to run a 16 play drive and take 5 minutes off the clock, 7 minutes off the clock, and then get a touchdown. And it doesn't matter what you do, because
they've got a good enough tight end who's their tight end? I forget.
No, I'm forgetting. He's pretty decent.
Anyways, they've got an okay tight end, and then they're kind of like the Packers in the fact that they have one really good wide receiver in AJ Brown, and then some, you know,
Corey Davis.
Corey Davis too. Yeah, good point. So, I mean, they've got good enough receiving options, and Tannehill's a good enough quarterback. I mean, proof again that Adam Gase is the worst coach ever. But Tannehill's had some stinker games too. He's no Aaron Rodgers, he's no Mahomes, but he's top 15. And, you know, when you got Derrick Henry and company just shoving it down your throat to, you know, just when you want to put nine in the box, he's got enough weapons that, you know, our corners are good, but you can't cover everybody.
Play action is definitely a big thing that's going to be something they're going to have to deal with. That play action pass is going to be massively effective for this team and what they can do here. Yeah, they got Corey Davis, AJ Brown, and Cameron Batson. That's not, I don't know who he is. Yeah. But I mean, like, the tight end right now. Like, oh, yeah.
A lot of people are like that with Equanimeous St. Brown and MVS too. Like, who?
Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith is the guy you're thinking of, the tight end for them. He is a very athletic tight end, the sort that's going to give our linebacking core fits, or, I mean, we'll probably put Amos on him a lot. But, yeah, he is a very athletic tight end. I watched them do a handoff to him, like a jet sweep type play, where Jonnu Smith got the handoff right off the snap. And, yeah, that was unfortunate. You know who else who plays for them is Marshall Newhouse. How is he still in the league somewhere?
I thought you were going to say Marshall Faulk.
No. No, he's not doing anything. But yeah, Newhouse
is still kicking around, huh? Good for him.
They got some good safety play. Like, they do have Malcolm Butler. He's been as good, but Kevin Byard and Kenny Vaccaro. Those are some good safeties. Adoree Jackson, the former former Trojan out of USC. Even Desmond King, former Iowa Hawkeye out there. So they got some guys. Well, they give up a ton of points on this team.
And Vrabel's a good coach. Like,
he's a very good coach. He's very smart. He's a
very, very good coach. Yes. He is really good. He's good at using what he has. And if you think for a second the Packers aren't trying to emulate to an extent what the Titans are doing, I mean, our Derrick Henry is AJ Dillon. You know, that's why they went up and got him, you know, for the vision. You know, we're like a hybrid between the 49ers. The 49ers, Packers, and the Titans are all very similar offenses.
They want to run with a big guy to control it. They want to have a game where they have effective short passing scripts with tight ends involved, running backs very involved in that game.
Motion, shift, cross, moving people a lot pre-snap. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to be higher scoring. I think it's going to be something like 28-25, and I don't think Green Bay wins this one. I think we were looking forward to this one a lot, but I don't have the confidence. And at some point, I have to not just pick the Packers every week. And I think this is one that doesn't. The odds don't favor us in terms of the matchups.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick the Packers because I pick them every week. And so far, it's worked. So far, it's worked most of the time this year.
Yeah, you got a great winning percentage.
It's worked 11 times so far. I'm 11-3 on the season. So,
okay, what is that?
I think I got jobbed in the Vikings game too. I actually think this might be a weird one, even though I did watch the Titans beat the Packers 56-0 once with Craig Knoll at the helm for the entire fourth quarter. Boy, that would have been 2006. Anyways, Monday Night Football game was a great experience all the way up until the game. So I'm going to say the Packers are going to win 37-24.
All right.
They're going to beat the spread by quite a bit.
And we weren't too terribly far off this last week. I just had our scores up here, but we were kind of in that range. You and I were both right, not too far off from last week's at least. So we'll see how we go with this.
I think we can remember from week to week, but I don't because I pick really weird scores.
I had it written down, and then I pulled it out to look at it here, and I said it somewhere. So, anyway. Yeah, I know I looked at it before we came on recording again, and it was fairly close. All right. Before we move on to the Badgers here, though, the one thing we want to say is today we got the word, too, that Kevin Green passed away. Mostly remembered. I mean, he played for the Steelers. He played for the Rams at the end of his career. He played for four different teams. I don't remember the other one, but he played for Carolina, I know. And that's one of the things I remember. I mean, I remember him in all those three spots, at least. Mm-hmm. It's such a great rush off the edge coming out of Auburn, playing there at he was drafted by the Rams, played out there, very iconic player in any of those spots, I think. And then he went to the Carolina there and was on that team that the Packers beat on their way to Super Bowl 31. Classic game, kind of out in the cold. You remember watching Kevin Green out there and just, he was going to be a force we had to deal with because he was having a very good year even towards the end of his career there.
Carolina's second season in the league.
Yep.
Both them and Jacksonville made it in their second season in the league.
Yep. And Jacksonville had Mark Brunell, Packer, former Washington Husky. Then he came to coach outside backers for Green Bay, and he had that great iconic moment in Super Bowl 45 where they just, he sits there and tells Clay, like, we need to make a big play. Now's your time, all that. And it's just, yeah, it's sad to see he was 58 years old. I haven't heard what he passed away from, but it's rough. It's rough.
Well, the way he played, too, I'm sure there's some CTE going on in there, but it was a different game then. And and it was very obvious. Like, the Dom Capers defense really kind of tanked after he left, and the linebacker play ever since he's been gone. I mean, that was one of the key parts of that Packers Super Bowl team. Was linebacker play was amazing. Clay Matthews, yes, if people don't remember, was unbelievable. Yeah. And they were so good. And I'm not the only one who feels this way too. I think that Kevin Green had a lot more to do with that defense. And Nick Collins, who would have been in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But Kevin Green had a lot to do with that defense and how good it was. And he was the heart and soul of that defense. He got him fired up. And it's sad. It's tough.
Yeah, it's a hard thing. And you hate to say this too, but he played in an era where obviously steroids were far more involved in the game too. So I don't know that that had anything to do with it, but you hope not. And it's sad to see him go. So we'll move on though from that obviously very sad point to try and talk about the Badgers, who managed to maintain control of the Axe again,
and that's all that matters.
Yeah, which is
that game could have been, they could have won that game 3-2. I don't care.
I think I said this was one of those like the Iowa game too, where I was like, I don't know what they do because I don't think the Badgers can score, and I know the Gophers are going to have trouble scoring on the Badger defense. Like the Iowa game the week before, where I was like, I felt Iowa obviously is a better team than Minnesota. Badgers really should have won by more. But here's the thing again: Nikhil Watson not on the field. Jalen Berger not on the field. Jack Cohn not on the field. Davis not on the field. AJ Pryor not out on the field. Just the list of people on this team that are gone. Van Landen wasn't even in this game. We're missing two of our five offensive linemen, our top two running backs. We're missing our top two wide receivers. Yeah, and just hard.
And Mertz was gone at halftime, right? By halftime, he was gone, right?
He got hurt a little after halftime. Taken into the tent, and then he got taken into the locker room. We'll say this. I mean, apart from just this game alone, Mertz needs to spend this offseason regaining his confidence, and the coaching staff needs to get more confident in him again. They were running very short, makeable plays for him. He was not throwing deep. He was not challenging this defense. And this is a defense that could be pushed. Could be pushed around because people did it all year. He needed, he's got a lot of injuries in that receiving core, sure. But, man, you needed him to do more. He didn't quite get done. But he's a guy who they definitely have a lot of faith in going forward. He very clearly is the guy going forward because, as we learned after the game, Jack Cohn is going to be entering the transfer portal. He will be going somewhere, and he should start somewhere, probably even a Power 5 team.
This guy started
a Rose Bowl, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's got to be some school out there, Kansas State or, Iowa State or something state or...
real school, though, not K-State.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, that's a Power 5 conference school. Like, if they're willing to take a flyer on a one-year senior, I mean... He's good enough to play on almost any team, really.
He's a very good quarterback. He's underrated because he had the very bad luck of being a good quarterback whose understudy was the highest rated recruited quarterback Wisconsin has ever seen.
Right.
People were rooting sadly, you have to say that too many people in Wisconsin were rooting for the day that he was gone. And it's sad to see because he was a very good quarterback. He was very athletic. They told you every single game he was a D1 lacrosse recruit as well. He's a tough guy. Mm-hmm. He could run. He could move. He could throw. And he was a very good counterpoint to a very good run game. He kept defenses honest. He's going to be missed. And if nothing else for the fact that he is a very good leader, he was a very good guy to help mentor Mertz along and try to get him through some of these patches here too. But yeah, it's going to be Mertz and Chase Wolf down the stretch for the next couple of years here to see how they do with this. But they got to get his confidence back. They got to start getting him into camp and working him with. He's going to have a couple new toys next year because they brought in a couple other receivers who are going to be interesting, though not, they're 3- and 4-star type. One of them is a 4-star for sure and a very interesting one, Allen. And they could be some interesting guys in that receiving core. DK looks like he can play, but he needs somebody else around him to be a secondary target. The one thing that was very interesting, too, coming out of this, and a lot of this is very forward-looking, Danny Davis and Pryor, the media was talking with Joe Rudolph, the offensive coordinator, about whether or not he thinks that they might come back because with COVID, they could be allowed to come back for a second senior year. I said, well, with the amount of injuries they had, because, Davis missed basically everything after the second game. He missed every other game. Pryor came back for a little bit, and they went right back out. He thinks it's fairly likely that the two of them come back. If you come back next year. Go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, it'd be different if they were like a consensus All-American coming into this season. And, they pulled out because they got injured, then or they just didn't play the season at all, like the one receiver from Minnesota who had everything to lose by playing the season. He's going to get drafted off hope. There's a lot of players that are going to get drafted off hope this year. And I think those two don't have enough to be more than a late round draft pick or an undrafted free agent. It might behoove them to come back and play a full year with a kid that's got good confidence. And I know you're saying that too about Mertz needs to gain his confidence back in the offseason. But these kids, man, the Badgers had about as rough as any team did about starting and stopping. They played a game, took 2 weeks off, played two games, took a week off. Week, 2 weeks off? What it was? 1-2-2-1-2. How do you get any momentum going? And at one point, they didn't get to practice for a week and a half.
If they were Rondell Moore out of Purdue and Rashawn Bateman out of Minnesota, the two guys in this conference you said they didn't have to play a game. They're going to be first round picks next year, almost certainly. But Davis and Pryor were guys that needed to prove themselves to try to move up into being fourth round picks, something like that. And that's what they might come back to make sure they get themselves on film again, doing the sorts of things they can, and that might be something interesting for what they can do next year. So, yeah.
Cephas made the right decision in going out, though.
he's making money. He had a couple nice plays this last week, but yeah.
don't think he would. This season, I don't think he could have helped himself at all.
He would have been the top receiver on this team. He would have gotten a ton of looks, I think. But yeah,
well,
with the way that
this is such a junk season, the way it turned out, nobody was able to really help their cause in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, it would have been hard for him to know that then. But yeah, it's probably the right move.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like that's a hindsight call. Like hindsight 2020. Like that was. Whether, because I don't think we thought it was
hindsight
the right call
2020.
What did I say?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Hindsight 2020 was like a double entendre.
Did I say that wrong?
No, you said it right. Like it's just
hindsight 2020. Yes, exactly. Like he made the right decision, and even us at the time, I know we were saying like, I don't know, buddy. Like maybe you stick around one more year, but then at the same time, we're also like with all the garbage he had to put up with when he was on campus and his whole deal, like. I didn't blame him for leaving for that either, but
neither one of us did. We said, your money. It's probably maybe the right choice to do for you. You've been there for a while. You don't want to just waste around.
He never went to jail, but he got the worst punishment ever, John.
Jeez, you're gonna say
he's got to play for the Lions. No,
okay. All right, I was very worried where this is going. It's just hard to do. Garrett Groshek had a great game. Put up 154 yards. This is his last regular season game. Before the Badgers go off to play in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Gosh, I'm never going to get you saying that. So he had a very good game for the Amherst product, the Amherst Falcon, former quarterback at Amherst. Very good game. Finished off, he had 3 yards more than Ibrahim did. So, yeah, I mean, he's not an NFL starter in any way. He'll probably latch on as an undrafted rookie free agent. And be a special teamer and third down back somewhere. I mean, just he's decent. He's a nice running back, but he's not. I don't think he's getting drafted. He'll be somewhere though. Yeah. So what Wisconsin has looking ahead here is a December 30th Duke's Mayo Bowl, and the idea of a bowl full of mayo is not what I want right before New Year's, but. It is what it is. We'll play the Demon Deacons
like
of Wake Forest.
It's like the scrubbing bubbles toilet bowl. Like, don't even say
we want
it.
The Kohler toilet bowl. I want the lowest. I want this. I want the Kohler toilet bowl where the lowest bowl eligible team in the Sun Belt plays the lowest bowl eligible team in the MAC, and then just let them play it out. And it'd be like the Kohler toilet bowl. And they'd do it. It should happen. Make this happen. NCAA, hashtag NCAA. But the Demon Deacons are 4-4. Badgers are 3-3, but Demon Deacons, their wins are against Syracuse, which is a bad team. It's a really bad team. And UVA, who is also a bad team. But they did get a good win against Va-Tech.
Yeah.
And then their fourth win, if you don't know about their fourth win was against Campbell, the Fighting Camels of Campbell University, which is a great name, by the way. Not Campbell, but Fighting Camels is great. Whatever your school is, if you can change it to Fighting Camels, that's pretty fantastic.
Did you know that there are camels in the wild in the United States for a time? They're like the orcs down in New Mexico when we were down there. Remember those orcs that aren't native to the United States, but they were brought here, they flourished here better than they did in Africa because they had no natural predators. Well, for a while, the U.S. Army used camels to move things from the Texas coast across to the Pacific coast. And for a while, of course, as what happens, some get loose, and we had wild camels in the United States.
There were wild camels in Australia and wild donkeys in Australia because the British Army used them. Yeah, and then, of course, they eat everything and made it a desert. Well, the rabbits did most of that in Australia. Wild rabbits were released and turned the outback into a desert, essentially. But yeah, Wake Forest, the Badgers are favored in this game. They're 72.5% favorite. According to the ESPN Football Power Index, they are a 6.5-point spread lead. They'll probably have Berger back in this game, which changes a ton in this. If Davis can get healthy and if Pryor could get healthy, I definitely pick the Badgers in this. The Wake Forest scores more points. But man, the ACC is hot garbage below those top two teams. I mean, it's trash. North Carolina gets ranked because they're in there, but they just get beat up by everyone else and then beat up on the rest of the ACC, which, as I said, is trash. It's a terrible conference with now Notre Dame for some reason, the Atlantic coast of Indiana. And, right. You know, Clemson is great. And the rest of that conference is garbage. But you don't know how any of this is going to go. Our offense has been so lackluster. If guys are healthy, you feel all right that they'll win this. But the defense has been fantastic. Should keep them in this. I'm going to watch every minute of this bowl game, and this will be hopefully the only time I ever watch. Well, no, I'll watch this every year. I don't. If there's football on, I'll probably watch it. But I'd like to say that I don't need to watch the Duke's Mayo Bowl frequently.
Other bowl games that we used to have, we had the Refrigerator Bowl that was held in Evansville, Indiana from 1946 to 1956. The Glass Bowl, which was held in Toledo from 1946 to 1949.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. The Meineke Car Care Bowl. The Bacardi Bowl was held one time, and it doesn't say what year it is here. I like the Bacardi Bowl, though. SeaWorld Holiday Bowl, that was a good one. Pioneer Pure Vision Las Vegas Bowl, that was good. The Gotham Bowl, I forgot about that. I didn't know about that. 61 and 62 in New York City. Let's see. I was looking for one. It was like the GalleryFurniture.com Bowl. They did come through for me on that one. So... And Beef O'Brady St. Petersburg Bowl. That was a good one.
Okay.
Pullian Weed Eater Independence Bowl. And what does Bleach Report say is number one? Gaylord Hotels Music City Bowl presented by Bridgestone.
So here it used to be, this is the first year it will be the Duke's Mayo Bowl, which is so gross.
Stop saying it. It's just.
It used to be the Meineke Car Care Bowl until 2010, through 2010. Starting in 2011, it was the Belk Bowl. If you've probably heard that one at least. So like last year, it was Kentucky versus Va Tech. Before that, it was Virginia and South Carolina. Wake beat Texas A&M in 2017 in this very bowl game. So yeah, this is former MVPs where is this? Oh, I thought I said Nick Chubb, Dak Prescott. The more recent ones are less impressive, like John Wolford, Alameda Zacchaeus, Lynn Bowden. But yeah, a couple of fun names. Mike Glennon, a former MVP. Pat White, former MVP of this game. Stephen Tulloch was an MVP of this game.
There you go.
So yeah, that's all right.
The Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Duke's Mayo Bowl.
So Wisconsin's probably the biggest pull they've ever gotten in this game.
They've had number 17 Pittsburgh was in this. A number 13 Georgia played a number 20 Louisville in this game one time. No, this is not their most impressive team, I guess. They've had a couple of ranked teams.
Not for like record, but I just mean like for school recognition wise.
Maybe. I mean, like they've had Georgia.
Wisconsin's a bigger pull than Pitt, but yeah, you're right. As soon as you said Georgia, I'm like,
Georgia's one of those. Boston College played Navy in the Meineke Car Care Bowl back in 2006 and beat
Where
Navy.
Was this game played at, John? Did you say where it was played at?
Oh, sorry. It's played in Charlotte, North Carolina. So there you go. Okay. Initially called the Queen City Bowl. Yeah.
Fantastic.
All right. That's what we have there. Here's where my rant before we get into our last call is going to be is the NBA announced today they are taking a second round pick away from the Bucks for the non-trade for Bogdan Bogdanovic. This is the most garbage thing the NBA has done in literally days because they're the worst. First off, the punishment should be the fact that they stopped the trade that if, by the way, they were the Lakers, would have still happened. Like, seriously, the Lakers would have been allowed to make this trade, and then they would have gotten fined. You know why I know that? It's because it's happened repeatedly throughout the history of this league. Like, within the last 5 years, this garbage has happened. They just get fined. The Lakers are the most fined team for doing this. Forgetting the word, I'm so angry about this thing. Like, they're, you know, getting in the way. Like, oh, man, they're interfering with other teams' players. Oh, the Lakers are talking to Anthony Davis 2 years before he's a free agent, 6 years before he's a free agent. Oh, man, well, we'll fine you. No, Bogdanovic was going to be a free agent in 4 days. We worked out a trade and a sign deal, and that happens everywhere, just everywhere. You know what's the most infuriating part is the NBA admitted today, first off, they had no evidence that anything had happened. Also, that the Bucks were very cooperative. And in looking at the fact that we had no evidence and the Bucks were very cooperative, we're taking away a second round pick. which is useless in the NBA still, but the fact that they were punished at all for doing something that the Lakers do every year, this is just more and more proof. They're like, the games aren't fixed. They aren't fixed, but the NBA actively roots against the vast majority of its own teams. They want the Lakers to play the Celtics every year, and every now and then, I guess they would let the Knicks in there. But they want Lakers-Celtics every year. And when the Lakers aren't good, and when you're going to do something that might make it so the Lakers don't look so great, or maybe the Celtics are going to have trouble next year, or the Heat, they're going to punish you, and they hate Milwaukee. They just hate them. This is a ridiculous punishment. It is.
No, this is Milwaukee's punishment for having Giannis sign the max contract, the Supermax contract.
Absolutely.
It's like, okay, now we're going to punish both of you because you should have went somewhere else besides staying in Milwaukee. And now you're already short draft picks for the Drew Holiday trades and some of the other trades you made. So now we're just going to take away another trade from you. And I think coercion is the word you were looking for, John.
I'm forgetting. For
yeah.
Tampering.
Yeah, tampering. Yeah. It says right here. The NBA said it took into account that Milwaukee was cooperative throughout the investigation, and there was no evidence Milwaukee had reached out early, an early contract agreement with Bogdanovich, and that the Bucks did not acquire him before the penalty was imposed. So they just took one away for the hell of it.
Just for the fun of it. Literally, the punishment should have been the fact that the NBA stopped a trade that was going to happen that everybody was okay with. Like, nobody was getting screwed here. Like, by the way, you know what happened after he left? They got nothing for him. They were going to trade him and get something for him. They got nothing. You hurt both teams. And the player.
Oh, they hate Sacramento, too. I mean, Sacramento is just like Milwaukee. They don't want – that's the team from California they don't want winning either. So.
The sign and trade would have also gotten Bogdanovich more money, too. He would have gotten more money that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we'd be remiss to say, because it did happen the day after our podcast last week, that yes, Giannis did sign the max Supermax contract.
Yeah, the day after we had it. So yeah.
Literally 12 hours after we wrapped the podcast. And I'm like, God, really?
So I'm super angry about this. It makes me so mad. This is why the NBA is so hard to watch, is because they hate 2/3 to 3/4 or more of their teams. They just hate them. And it bothers me.
I said it last week about college football too. But then make another division. Then just stop pretending.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you need the games and you want your stars to go out there and just beat up on teams that you hamstring year after year after year. Don't make NBA 1 and NBA 2.
Yeah.
And then they can at least have a shot. Just like college football, unless you're the top four schools, you have no shot. You know, why even bother? Okay, here's the 10 teams that are going to play against each other. We're going to have games against the teams from the lower league just so they have enough games. But the teams from the lower league don't have to compete against these top 10 teams for the national championship every year. Perfect. And we'll do it like the Premier League?
Yeah, something like that. Premier League.
We can fall out of the league into the lower league and they bring up somebody else.
All right. You're actually leading into what I'm going to start off the next segment with here. And the next segment is something that we lovingly call our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right, Aaron, the last call that I have is, first off, Cincinnati should be in the college football playoff. They should be in it. It's ridiculous. Notre Dame should be out. Notre Dame got a big win playing against a true freshman quarterback. I think he's a true freshman. For Clemson, when their Heisman Trophy soon-to-be winner was out, and then as soon as he came back in, they lost by like 3 touchdowns. They weren't even close. They didn't sniff getting close in that game. It was terrible. They got blown up. Put in an undefeated conference champion ahead of second place Notre Dame. Two teams from the same conference is dumb. It's dumb. You shouldn't do it. You know why? Because the problem is you're not trying to pick out the best four teams. You're trying to make sure the team that's the best in the country is in that four.
And not even the best conference.
The teams. Let Cincinnati have a chance, because Notre Dame had their chance. Put Cincinnati in. They deserve it. They played a great schedule, and they played hard. They went undefeated.
Yeah, and the NCAA, who, much like the NBA, is much known for their integrity and decisions that are made not with money but with the best interest of the students at hand.
Yeah.
NCAA.
Yeah.
They don't care. I mean, like, just like you said, though, I mean, like, Notre Dame is only getting put in there for the TV ratings, because especially since there's nobody in, I mean, they got boat raced by Clemson. You know who else can get boat raced by Clemson? Cincinnati.
Yeah, I could do it too. Just, give them a chance. We won't see them lose. We don't know that they'll lose because we'll never see it. They'll never let us have that opportunity. That would be a great game. I would love to see that. Let them do it.
Would they have showed up and beaten Alabama? 99% chance, no. But once in a while, it's college football. Things happen.
But
that's one
give
thing
them the
we
chance.
Know,
let those kids who had an undefeated season have that chance, because Notre Dame had their chance and blew it. They had their chance. They should have won their conference.
And then on top of it, but I mean, and then the NCAA is scared of that too. Like, what happens if Cincinnati beats Alabama somehow? We need Alabama.
It'd be
the
greatest thing ever. Oh my gosh, would it be so great?
Oh, it would be. I mean, and that's the thing, because they don't think like that, because they just, there's words I want to say right now, but I'm not going to, because they're derogatory. But they bow to the needs of Alabama,
yes.
You know, because that's where they make their money. And of course, ESPN makes all their money off the SEC.
And Alabama deserved to be in this year.
It actually surprised me that ESPN allowed college football to have two ACC teams.
They should never have done it.
Two SEC teams.
Yeah. Well, no, neither one of those things should be a reality. The next thing I want to bring up, and I wish I had more time to talk about this, because I would love to talk about this forever, but Brett Bielema is going to be the head coach of the Fighting Illini. And they started off their thing. They did the ILL. They didn't finish it with the INI. I was like, ILL is correct. Yes.
Great.
Oh, he talked.
Go from Lovey Smith, an ex-Bears coach, to Brett Bielema, the most hated Badgers coach in
recent
ever.
Yeah. I don't know.
Recent history.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's so weird. He has just kept going downhill, downhill, downhill. You have to remember, when he came to Wisconsin, he was there with Alvarez on the staff, was named the coach before Alvarez retired, and then just kind of flew into it. He got to have Barry Alvarez the whole time helping him with his recruiting, helping him with his coaching, helping with his scouting, giving him a staff. He went to go do it all on his own, because he and his wife, who he got married to just before this, with the hashtag karma and all that, said, you know what? Barry Alvarez is getting too much of the credit. He went to Arkansas and just fell flat on his face. He went elsewhere, fell flat on his face, went to the Patriots, and they said, like, eventually, you should probably get out of here. And now he's going to be a head coach again. It's just amazing. He was the linebackers coach for the Giants this last year. So great.
That's why I knew that, because it was the Giants game. They were announcing that he was one of the coaches that the Giants didn't have, and it was because he had just gotten hired by Illinois and had to leave immediately. It's like, couldn't coach one last game when you lost all the other coaches? Why had to get to work in Illinois, huh? All right.
Yeah. Badger men's basketball was back to number 9 now after absolutely slaughtering Louisville. Louisville's top player was out. He had COVID and he couldn't play. He was in the protocol and all that. He was there in a mask, but he could not play. They were just absolutely destroyed. It was not even close. The Badgers' defensive rotations were so good, and their offensive ball movement was so good. The number of open shots they got was crazy. They were killing it from the three-point line. At one point, Louisville did the unthinkable. They were getting murdered from three, and they went to a 2-3 zone. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, the problem isn't that we're passing inside. The problem is, we're shooting and hitting from everywhere because you can't get there. And so the immediate – I mean, that swing offense gets the ball left to right and right to left so fast. It just left more open threes. It just made it worse for Louisville. It was a terrible, terrible loss for Louisville. Worst loss since, I think they said, 46 or something like that.
Well, Louisville, I mean, ever since – I got to imagine since Pitino left, has probably taken a little bit of a tank job, because I don't know who their coach is now, but they probably hired someone – the opposite of Pitino, so they wouldn't run into those problems again. And that's, sorry, but that's not the right answer to having a winning team. But
I don't know. They're still a good team.
Morally, it's the right answer.
They got completely destroyed. Since beating the Badgers, getting destroyed is kind of what Marquette's been doing. They've had a couple of rough games. They lost to a couple of ranked teams. I mean, they beat Creighton last time we talked, but then they lost this last week. They were ahead and lost late. I think it was Xavier. And then the week, they got Villanova coming up next. That's going to be a rough game, too. They're 5-4 right now, and yeah, they got really up for that Badger game, and that's going to be possibly the highlight of this team's season, so we'll see. Badgers also played in team-designed jerseys. By team-designed, I mean the players on the team designed the jerseys using elements of several different former like Badger jerseys from basketball and football and stuff. I'll say this. Basketball jerseys, they're the least impressive jerseys in sports.
Okay.
There's so much less cloth than anyone else, and it's hard to get too impressed. You just write your name here. It's mostly a number. It's you pick a color, you pick a trim, you pick a number, you write one thing across the front. Even the NBA City jerseys don't really impress me that much, whatever.
Unless it's the Bucks or Marquette. For some reason, they can get their alternate uniforms right. Yeah. There's something about those Milwaukee teams. So those old Mecca jerseys.
Oh, the Mecca jerseys are kind of fun, yeah.
Those are, and I don't mind the Cream City ones either. I think they look great.
Those are actually pretty sharp. I kind of like those. But it's harder for a basketball jersey. There's just not much to them.
Right. For some reason, the two Milwaukee teams get it right for whatever reason. But otherwise, you're 100% correct, yes. Yeah.
The only other thing I'm going to add for my last call here is the World Junior Hockey is going to be going on here. Three of the Badgers are going to be featured heavily in that. Dylan Holloway is going to be playing for Canada. Alex Turcotte and Cole Caulfield will be playing for Team USA. Should be a fun time, but there's not going to be a lot of actual Badger hockey news here. Anything you wanted to add, Aaron, before we sign off?
Can you see that? That doesn't work
so
well, does it?
That's not great.
That's a Bucks Christmas jersey this year.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it looks really nice. Super sharp. That's all I had. Sorry, that just doesn't work well for a podcast. John saw it. Just Google Bucks Christmas jersey. They're pretty sharp this year. I like them. They do a real good job with that stuff. Otherwise, no, I really don't have a last call. It was. I just hope that Badgers don't play this week, but I hope our favorite team in green and gold really sticks it to Tennessee, because I think they can do it, and I'd like to see it. But for the reasons you said and for the reasons I said, I think my score prediction might be a little bit optimistic, but I feel they can do it.
Before we meet again, the Bucks will have played two games. They'll play on the 23rd and then the 25th. I think they'll beat Boston. I think they'll beat I think they'll win both these games. Boston looks to be playing without Kemba Walker. They also lost Hayward in free agency. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Golden State's playing without Klay Thompson this year. So I think they'll win them both, so it should be interesting to see. But again, thank you everybody for joining us for another wonderful week of Talking Wisconsin Sports with you. We went slightly long on this one. Sorry too much about that, but we had a lot to get through this week. And
there's
talking
a lot
through
of stuff this week. Holy smokes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's without Brewers and really a lot of Bucks talk here. So thank you again for joining us. You can follow this show on Twitter at ScottyJohnnyPod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host, and you can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. Remember, wherever it is that you listen to us, wherever it is that you download your podcast, remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review the podcast. And please remember, whether you are on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.
Boy, they.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.